very good afternoon and a warm welcome to On The Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to keep you company up until 14:30. Now, it's Friday, the 5th of September 2025, the end of the first week of a brand new month. Now, whether you're tuning in from your office in Windhoek, driving through Otjiwarongo, working on a farm in Grootfontein, or listening in from a classroom or a clinic anywhere across Namibia, thank you for choosing to spend your afternoon with us. Now, as always, On The Radar News Analysis is where we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We'll examine the structures behind today's news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading. And of course, your voice matters right here on Eagle FM. Share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, or through the Eagle FM website and app. From the hustle of Shakati to the calm of Swakopmund, from Khobabes to Katima Mulilo, and to Ngwediva, thank you for tuning in and being part of the conversation with us this Friday afternoon. This is On The Radar News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Let's get right into today's stories. CEO of the business and acting CEO of the Business and Intellectual Property Authority, Aina Kaundu, was at the Government Information Sharing Center this morning to discuss the authority's role in Namibia's business ecosystem. Now, BIPAR, established under an Act of Parliament, carries the mandate to drive entrepreneurship, regulate the market, and foster innovation, responsibilities that were previously under the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Let's take a listen to her.
We are the Business and Intellectual Property Authority. We are established in terms of an act, and the key mandate is simply to drive entrepreneurship, to regulate the market, as well as to drive innovation. In a simple sense, we are created to enable a conducive environment for business in Namibia, as well as promote creativity and innovation. So in terms of that mandate, we used to be in the Ministry of Trade a number of years ago, but government felt that we needed to drive the private sector as well as the market in terms of ensuring that the private sector contribute to the economy. And so the bureaucracy that you would naturally find in a ministry was not conducive to drive this agenda. That is why BIPAR was constituted. So to begin with, the idea of starting your business is for you to create a legacy. I'm reminded of Pupkewitz, the late Pupkewitz. He said that the goal is not to live forever, but to build something that will. So a business is there to create a legacy. And in doing that, you would want to have an environment that is transparent, an environment that is credible, that you can trust in order to conduct your business. But we will also find that there are those that are creating entities not to create legacies, but to launder monies, to be able to fund terrorism, to be able to conduct criminal activities instead of business activities. And so it is with that that the United Nations community has come up with some standards of transparency or disclosure in the form of beneficial ownership, whereby generally, for example, in private companies, you would know who the directors are. You may not necessarily know who the shareholders are, whether it is now the enforcement community and so forth. However, through this UN standards, there's now a requirement for entities to disclose who the natural person behind that entity is, so that the entity is not used for these criminal activities. So in that light, we amended our laws to be able to provide for these mechanisms and ensure that we are transparent, mm-hmm. and we just create that disclosure mechanism. Mm-hmm. It all goes to creating a trusted market, mm-hmm. Creating confidence in the market, creating a credible market, mm-hmm. the business registration. So we have two vehicles under that. We have the smaller vehicle, which is your close corporation. It is really for startups, for young people, those that would want to perhaps test the market. So you would have your close corporation, and you can have one member who is normally the owner to up to 10 members or 10 owners. And then we have the bigger vehicle, which are established companies, the multinationals, the foreign companies would opt for. Of course, in terms of governance and in terms of reporting requirements, the private companies, which are the bigger vehicles, mm-hmm. of course, have vigorous requirements and reporting obligations. But for the smaller vehicle, because we are catering for the youth, we are catering for startups, for the small and media enterprises, their reporting obligations are lower. Mm-hmm. So that is the one aspect of the mandate.
Kaundu highlighted that BIPR is aligned with international community standards to combat financial crimes and money laundering by ensuring transparency and to disclosure through beneficial ownership. This, she emphasized, is key to creating a trusted, credible, and confident market environment.
We are the Business and Intellectual Property Authority. We are established in terms of an act. We are the Business and Intellectual Property Authority. We are established in terms, whether it is now the enforcement community and so goes to want to perhaps test the market. So you would have your close corporation, and you can have one member who is normally the owner to up to 10 members or 10 owners. And then we have the bigger vehicle, which are established companies, the multinationals, the foreign companies would opt for, of course, in terms of governance and in terms of reporting requirements, the private companies, which are the bigger vehicles, mm-hmm. of course, have vigorous requirements and reporting obligations. But for the smaller vehicle, because we are catering for the youth, we are catering for startups, for the small and media enterprises, their reporting obligations are lower. So that is the one aspect of the mandate. But we are also aware that it's not enough just for you to register your business. You want to be competitive. And in you becoming competitive, you need to make use of branding, for example. So the other side of our mandate, or the second mandate, is the protection of intellectual property rights. So you will then find your brands, which are called the trademarks. You will also want to be innovative in terms of your products, because that is what will make you sustainable in the market. Not only are you competitive in terms of making sure that your customers know your products and your services, but also that you innovate and come up with new products, and that is the patents. We also protect the look and feel of certain products in the form of a design. For example, we can protect the look and feel of a perfume bottle, as an example, mm-hmm. even though the perfume may be the same, but someone might prefer to buy a certain shape or shape of a car. You would be able to know whether the car is a Mercedes or a car is a BMW just by the shape. And then the other big thing which this new administration has prioritized is the creative industry. So this is your music, this is your artworks, your books. So this is the creative side. We also protect that through copyright. So in a nutshell, that is what we do. Mm-hmm. I think on the business side, we like to equate ourselves to what Home Affairs does in terms of ensuring that every person is licensed to be a Namibian. So you have your birth certificate. So BIPA is like your production house for legal entities. And then after you become an entity, we want you to be competitive, we want you to be innovative, and we want you to be creative. So that sums up our services. So like I said earlier, it's all about having a trusted market. It's all about having a credible, a conducive market. You want to be able to trust that the business that you are dealing with, the entity that you are dealing with, is indeed the entity that it says it is. Mm-hmm. So in terms of our business good standing, it is really there to ensure that number one entities comply with the obligations. We are all aware that, so as an entity, you do have the right to exist once you are licensed to exist, but there are also obligations. So there are maintenance. We are busy maintaining your books, your entity as an organization. Mm-hmm. So your obligation is to ensure that you meet your obligations in terms of the payment of your annual duty, as well as disclosing who the natural person that benefits from this business or that controls this business. So those are some of the few compliance requirements that is expected of every responsible entity. Mm-hmm. And really the perspective is, for every right that we have, there are responsibilities or there are obligations, and that is what brings the balance in the market. Mm-hmm. So for those entities that do not meet their annual obligations, for example, we have entities that registered in 1970s, 1980s, and since then they have never paid the annual duties. Since then, even after the introduction of the amendment to require disclosure of beneficial ownership, they've never filed their beneficial ownership. So those entities that do not, number one, they are not transparent. Number two, they do not comply or they do not honor their commitment, mm-hmm. or their obligation in terms of the payment of their annual duties. Those are not good for business. Okay. It's not only for the sake of BIPA, but if you are unable to honor your obligations, then surely you cannot be trusted.
Now, one of the major compliance requirements overseen by BIPA is a good standing certificate, which confirms that an entity is up to date with its annual duties and obligations. Businesses that fail to meet these requirements or operate without transparency do not qualify for the certificate, ensuring that only compliant entities gain the trust of consumers and the market. Kaundu also noted that companies which lose their legal status are not permanently excluded. They can apply for restoration, allowing them to resume operations and re-enter the formal business environment.
You cannot be trusted in terms of your offerings, your services, or your products. Mm-hmm. So the market cannot trust you. Your consumers cannot trust you. Yeah. Because you are an irresponsible legal entity. So for those that have found themselves non-compliant, and there are those that have contacted our offices and they say they are unable to continue with their legal entity and they had asked us to deregister, and then perhaps the opportunities open up for you and you want to reinstate or restore your company, mm-hmm. you can approach BIPA. The law does provide for that. You can come back to BIPA, and then you just ensure that you honor your obligations. Like I said, you pay for your annual duties as well as you file your beneficial ownership information. Then BIPA will restore you and you'll be able to conduct business again. So all the SOEs are now beginning to work on their graduate product, graduate program and policies mm-hmm. due to the request from the 8th administration. We are pleased to say that BIPA had foresight. 3 years ago, we introduced our graduate program where we worked with universities. And these universities will provide us with the best of their final students, final year students. And then we were able to then grant them an opportunity and expose them to the working environment. It is one of the successful things that we have done. So when the announcement came, we were not beginning with policies and guidelines. Mm-hmm. We were rather assisting other SOEs to develop their policies and guidelines. Mm-hmm. It has been a successful and it continues to be a successful program. Mm-hmm. We have seen a release of those that came just with theory and had knowledge becoming professionals and releasing them into the market. Mm-hmm.
And now we've reached out to a business consultant who helps people or businesses register with BIPA. Let's take a listen to that conversation. And we're now going to engage a business consultancy. He helps or has helped register a couple of businesses with BIPA. Good afternoon and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yes.
Now let's get right into this discussion. BIPA or Business Intellectual Property Authority. Now, just first give me a know-how of how businesses that you have registered with BIPA, for those people themselves, what is it that they're saying concerning BIPA? Is it user-friendly or is the process very much difficult?
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Firstly, it is very difficult for just an individual to be able to navigate through the application forms. That's where we come in as a business consultant. Basically, is that they do have every information available, but however, mm-hmm. the details of the information, it's not really clear to an individual who's coming or wanting to register a company. That's where now we jump in as consultants to be able to assist, to explain the form, to explain the procedure. So basically, we are just a middleman. It's a consultant, it's a middleman that just explains the procedure and the documentation of their process.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there should be changes made? I mean, a lot of businesses actually go the consultancy way because a lot of them don't understand those documents. And another thing that I've actually come to realize is I was also helping a particular business to be registered and I had to ask so many questions and call in via BIPA is that these documents cannot be filled in with a pen. They can only be, you know, typed in and stuff like that.
No. In terms of the documentation, there are those of that can be filled in with pen.
Okay.
There are those that are not able to be filled in with pen. But for me to jump into that, I would have to first explain the issue you said about the documentation.
Okay.
So basically also for us, from us as a consulting, we find it so costly because we have to bring one document, for example, three times. That is when we are registering a close corporation, which they basically say that a copy remains with them, a copy goes to the client, and a copy goes to the NAMRA. Now, in that term of us with the documentation, with the document of their forms also, is really so difficult because in terms of somebody comes and she, for example, takes one form, not knowing that they need to redo three or so four, that already causes inconvenience for customers.
Mm.
So, yeah, in terms of changes, there is a manuscript. They outline what needs to be done and whatnot, but not everybody really gets that information. But looking at now, they have come up with a checklist. But okay. One thing they need to do changes with is, even if one goes to their office now, it's really difficult for you to find that checklist or what you need to do because they are understaffed.
Mm.
That makes it now so difficult for them to have at least one person or two or three at the beginning where they just ask, hello, sir, how can we help? Instead of the person going in the line, in the queue,
yeah,
until at the counter, and that's when you're just getting information. Imagine you just wanted to ask, and you have to spend an hour or two mm-hmm. being in the queue for you to get that information. So that's how inconvenient it is for everyday person.
Dealing with them. Mm. Now, of course, another thing that I've also come to notice is that, I just got a distraction. I'm so sorry. So another thing that I've also come to notice is that they really do deal with a lot of companies, and yet they have so many documents that need to be filled in, and I think very little manpower. What then would you suggest as we are moving digitally? Maybe perhaps should I also be catering for people online?
Dealing with people for some long time, they have tried digitally. That must date you back to 2019, before Corona came. We were imaging in a digital. Mind you, I have registered quite some on that digital platform.
Okay.
I think I might have registered, if not 9 to 12 companies, but yet we still had to do the paperwork. It was just so, I don't know, inconvenient, because now once you get approved online, we still had to go back to get the reference, to get the number again. So on the normal formal forms. So they did try that. It's just a matter of they needed to do it more to interconnect it. One thing maybe I realize is that they have more of they're still using old systems in my view, because if I have to collect a annual for me to see how much I owe on the statement. Yeah, if I have to go in that queue and I reach at the helping point, the person helping me to get my statement takes approximately 12 minutes
mm-hmm.
to be able to provide to me the statement. So that's what we go through every day.
Mm.
Which means that there might be some systems that are not connected to each other. Okay, in 2016, from 2016, they've created two branches, the Katutura branch and the head office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think quite going time to time with the staff not being enough, they had to cancel the Katutura branch to back to the head office only.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also they had the problem, I think, with the spacing or something like that. But nevertheless, that's not really what we really have to address. The most thing that we are looking at now is that they have changed in the processes for now,
mm-hmm.
which for example, a name reservation we used to get for some quite a long time, you can get it on the spot, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also registration now takes more than 3 to 4 working days, which is also one of the good things.
Yeah.
One thing then I would want to say is that, okay, with them those are things that they really matter, that they really fix. And also, we have gotten away from, back then we used to use only strictly two type of papers for close corporation registration. That means now, if you are registering a new one, you are supposed to use blue paper. And if you're doing an amendment, you're supposed to use yellow. So VIPA has gotten away with that. So which means that you could submit with all types, like the blue or in the normal plain white.
Mm.
Yes. So those are also some of the good things that they have done so far. Yeah, then we have now the issue of annual duties.
Yeah.
Yes, so there is now where we have quite a problem, because imagine you are on your way. As a consultant, we cannot tell a client to say, okay, maybe dear ma'am, your annual duty is your end of year is arrived. You owe BIPA this much. Can you make payment? We can tell a client that, but it's up to the client to decide to take the action up. So, and then once you miss your end of financial year, on our way, some of them are some clients are ignorant. Some really are not aware, depending on which consultant or information wise. And now that they were supposed to be making an annual duty payment to BIPA for their files being kept there in the ICARS and so on.
Yeah.
Yes. So that brings now inconvenience when they want to do an amendment. It's for them to arrive there and find out that they owe, for example, 6,000, 7,000. And BIPA requires now it's an immediate 50% settlement of that. But in with that 50% is when you are subscribing to a payment plan.
Yeah.
If you have an emergency amendment.
Mm.
But looking at that now, that's where we say that some of those are things they have to look into, because so far they have taken it until 2012. For annual duties. But if you take it to 2012, if you say that you're going to charge me for annual duties from 2012, was BIPA alive or was BIPA born 2012? Which we are saying no.
It only actually came in fact into effect, now I'm talking about it's moving from the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Which year was that?
2016,
okay.
Yes. So, which we could say that they could really charge from 2016 annual duties, but as we stand here, is that you are charged from 2012. If you registered earlier period to 2001, 2004, you are going to be invoiced from 2012. But which we as consultants have addressed that no. That can't be. How can you claim something which you were not there?
Exactly.
If it's for the ministry to claim that, that could be better. So that's one thing they must look into. That is also a very, very hindering issue that we've been addressing ever since.
Mm. Yes. Now, in terms of BIPA being a business intellectual property authority, and of course, looking after, let me use that for lack of a better word, businesses, you know, with the way things are going on right now, would you say it's conducive to help build Namibia's economy in terms of the small businesses also and big businesses having their part to play in Namibia's economy, or there's really a lot of changes that need to be done?
To be honest, one is that there is quite a lot of changes that need to be addressed, starting from, we say, the process of registration.
Yeah.
Especially for the small SMEs. So basically, we do have three different categories of SMEs. And that's where we needed to say that. In back then, they had the thing of a defensive name where you could register your company on a defensive name, trade as on a defensive name where each and every second year you are able to go back and repay or reapply for that, which was very better for small businesses. Let's say, for example, the tax shops, for example, time-to-time cleaning services, and mm-hmm. so on. Yeah. But coming back to most practically, now that that is not there anymore, we have only close cooperation. It's really inconvenient because somebody just wanted to have formal papers for that certain period of contract, which now the person have we registered the close cooperation. Mind you, it's going to be again costly for the person to deregister, because the person now has to start with not only BIPA, have to go to Ministry of Trade, have to go to Social Security, have to go to Equity, have to go to SME. So all of that, it creates now another problem again for an individual who just had the process to say, I'm only applying because I have this contract offer of 2 years.
I hear you. Anyway, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis and pointing out those factors for us. And we surely hope that a lot will be rectified so that businesses themselves and business people themselves will appreciate, you know, a process of actually registering a company and everything else involved.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Okay. And there you had it. You are tuned into On the Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back with yet more coming your way. Stay tuned. Now remember, you can also be part of the news analysis. Join in on the conversation by dialing on 083-288-401.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The Erongo Regional Council has officially unveiled its 2026 to 2030, pardon me, strategic plan, a blueprint that will guide the region's development over the next 5 years. The plan was developed between February and July 2025, following months of extensive research, consultation, and strategic planning. According to the council, the process was rooted in participatory development and community engagement to ensure it reflects the true aspirations of the people of Erongo, aligned with Namibia's Vision 2030 and the 6th National Development Plan, the strategy outlines clear priorities and provides a roadmap for decision-making, leadership and performance measurement. Now, speaking at the launch, council representatives emphasized that the new plan is more than a document. It is a tool that defines what the Orongo Regional Council is, who it serves, what it does, and why. It also ensures that resources are effectively aligned to create maximum value for the communities in the region. Now, the strategic plan we launched today serves as a foundation for decisions, leadership, and the overall management of the Orongo Regional Council, the leadership noted. The council expressed confidence that the plan will strengthen service delivery, enhance accountability, and promote inclusive development across the Orongo region.
It's very clear we are there to govern, plan, coordinate, and implement socio-economic activities in the region. So if people are not able to find jobs here, you can bring them to our council. If people get sick, you can bring them to our council. If people don't get the amenities, electricity in the rural area, you can bring them to our council. So this is actually a constitutional mandate of the regional council, and that's why we brought everyone in the room so that we share with you our vision, things that we want to do, and then you can support us so that we can reduce inequalities and injustices in the communities. So the vision of this new strategic plan that will be launched this morning is we want to see ourselves as a dynamic, sustainable and inclusive regional council that delivers socio-economic development and prosperity. And our mission is to enhance the quality of life by providing efficient services. And the theme, I'll not talk much about it, I think I'm sure the Honorable Governor will talk about our theme. One region, one vision. I think that is, it needs to be unpacked. One region, one vision means more we want to unite the region, and we need to speak under, we need to speak the same language. Mm. Yeah, so that's where we are. These are our core values. We want to be professional, we want to enhance transparency, issues around integrity, commitment, teamwork, innovation. So if we can fulfill these core values, I think we can restore, the Honorable Governor, you can restore the region of excellency on the regional council. So we commit here with my staff that we should actually be able to deliver on this strategic plan so that we regain the lost title if it has not been translated. Now, what are the critical issues as a region that we face? We face a number of, a myriad of challenges in the region, but then we need to come with strategies that will help us to ensure sustainable development. We need to ensure improved service delivery and enhance economic growth. If we can address these three elements, then we are able to address issues around poverty, inequalities, rural migration and all that. I mean, if we are able to, like we are doing now in Uis, if we are able to bring in ShopRite there, bring spa, build one more hotel that can absorb the population of Uis is nearly, in Uis Central, I mean, there are about 6,000. So if you can absorb 1,000 people in jobs, then you are guaranteed of sustainable development. So this is something that we need to be doing going forward. Serious challenges is the inadequacy of water in the region. So this is very serious, and I'm happy all the politicians in the region are in the room. This is actually the biggest elephant in the Orongo region. We have a big sea here, and I think efforts have to be made that we get from this water. People are willing to venture into agriculture, but the fact that we do not have water, it becomes a problem. We have a Kwisa belt somewhere around here, and if it dries up, then all these fishing factories will close. Even the mines will be affected, and then the country will go back to zero. So we need advocacy. I think we need political advocacy. It's evident. We don't have water, so what is it that we can do to ensure that we have water? I think there are one or two desalination plants around here. They are doing very well, and I think some of the desalination plants are providing water to the mines. So if you can also generate water for the communities, that will help us solve the problem. The other challenge or the other issue that we need to address is the insufficiency of sanitation infrastructure. Like I've said, in most importantly in the rural areas, when you hear about cholera in some of the countries, the Ebola and all that, it's because of sanitation issues. So if we do not address this, then obviously we'll have problems. So we are going to be working around these areas to ensure that we limit the spread of unnecessary illnesses. The other strategic issue that we need to address in the new strategic plan is the aging and inadequate infrastructure. Here we are talking about water infrastructure. We went to Martin Luther High School the other month. I think it was earlier this year or last year. The water borehole yields a lot of water, but then the infrastructure is aging. So these are some of the things that we need to address. If we do not, then we'll have a serious challenge in terms of delivering that optimal service that we want to provide. Inadequate fleet and machinery. As a regional council, we get a budget from the ministry just like any other OMA or any other regional council, but the funds are not enough. We need more vehicles to reach Otjimbingwe. I mean, if you buy a vehicle for Otjimbingwe in a year or two, it's wrecked because it's gravel road. Yeah. So there are other root causes that we need to address as we talk about fleet. But this is something that we may have to address because mobility requires transport. I have a team that wants to put up a new together houses in Otjimbingwe and Oost. We are limited fleet. So these are some of the things that we need to address in the next strategic plan. A lack of serviced land and housing delivery, like I've said, the government, under the current leadership of the Excellency the President, they want to build 10,000 houses. And I've told them about 21 houses is a contribution to that 10,000 houses. 21 houses, government wants 10,000 houses. It's a small figure, 21. That's all the money we have. But then the challenge that comes to me is that we are compounded or we are restricted by the issues around the level of serviced land. If you go to, we are now elevating Oost to become a village council. But then there's land, most of the land that we have there is on service. And all this requires money for us to be able to provide land, to provide serviced land and build houses. So these are some of the challenges that we need to address. Financial constraints, resources. I'm glad we have heavyweights from the private sector in the room. Government on its own cannot actually support all the programs. I think that's why at some point we go around and knock on some of the doors so that we can support some of the programs that we have lined to implement. At the moment, the Regional Council relies heavily on the government grant and the 5% that my colleague talked about. It's not enough. 5% of 10 million is how much? 2.5. Yeah, it's not enough. Yeah. But then we also have some issues. We need to address our books. I think every time the governor stands on a podium, she'll talk about our books training. I think this also speaks to that. We need to make sure that we are, as a region of excellence, we need to make sure that we are clean in all areas. If we are able to win the best regional council of the year, that should also translate into our books, the way we do services. You know, if you call the ERC, the phone call should actually just ring twice in speed. Customer service. So we need to improve in all facets, in all aspects.
And with that, we pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly. This is On The Radar News Analysis. Now remember, you can also be part of the conversation. 083-288-401 is the number in studio.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Emir.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And now, if you haven't already, make sure that you do grab your copy of The Villager e-paper. Today's headlines are as following. HAB copper project will need 150 megawatts and 20 million cubic meters of water per year. Potential to pipe water from Nectar Dam, 260 kilometer distance. Capital continues to flood government debt instruments. $3.3 billion in capital sought space on the TBS this week. TBS. Farmers welcome certified seed initiative, a call for expansion. Why you should enroll at IOM, a student's perspective. Gap analysis on digital public infrastructure commence. Japan donates ambulances worth $9 million to the Ministry of Health and Social Services. Grab a copy to read up on this social and economic headlines that are extensively elaborated and covered in our Villager newspaper, which is an e-paper and is out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144 and receive your copy tri-weekly. Enough what's making headlines today in terms of economic indicators. Now, $1 today is equal to 17 Namibian dollars and 69 cents. That's 17 Namibian dollars and 69 cents. £1 sterling is equal to 23 Namibian dollars and 83 cents. €1 is equal to 20 Namibian dollars and 67 cents. $1 Australian is equal to 11 Namibian dollars and 57 cents. And £1 Botswana pula is equal to $1.32. £1 Kenyan shilling is equal to $0.14. Now moving over to trading economics. Mauritius' annual inflation decelerated for the second month in August 2025, hitting 4.8%. compared to July's 5.2%. Now, prices slowed down primarily for food and non-alcoholic beverages at 2.8% versus 4.5% in July. Furnishings and household equipment at 4.5% versus 5.7%. And miscellaneous goods and services at 2.4% versus 2.7%. Conversely, the biggest increase was seen for the insurance and finance services at 13.2%, the same as in July. Restaurants and hotels at 12.2% versus 10.7%. Now, on a monthly basis, consumer prices urged down by 0.1% in August after being flat in the previous month. North Macedonia's trade deficit widened notably to $373 million in July 2025 from $332.8 million in the same month of the previous year. Now, this marked the largest trade gap since December 2024, as exports grew by 12.6% year on year to $779.4 million, while imports rose at a slightly slower pace at 12.3% to $1,152.3 million. Now, for the January to July period, the country's trade deficit reached $2,152.4 million. Exports increased by 5.4% compared to the same period a year earlier. Now, today, $5,206.8 million, primarily driven by higher sales of beverages and tobacco, standing at 34.4%, animal and vegetable oils, fats and waxes at 32.4%, and raw materials excluding fuel at 10.2%. Meanwhile, imports rose by 4.8% to $7,359.3 million. Now, mainly due to increased purchases of animal and vegetable oils, fats and waxes at 24.3%, beverages and tobacco at 13.9%, and food and live animals at 8.3%. Still in Northern Macedonia, the unemployment rate in North Macedonia fell to 11.5% in the second quarter of 2025 from 12.5% in the same period a year earlier. Just a percentage difference, hey? Now, this was the lowest jobless rate on record, as the number of unemployed persons declined by 7,000 to 91,400. Meanwhile, employment, now you see how a percentage, 1% may look very insignificant, but when you deal with actual figures, you see how just how significant that 1% can actually mean. Notice a jump from 7,000 to 91,400. Now, meanwhile, unemployment edged up to 52.2% from 52.1%, with the number of unemployed individuals rising by 9,600 to 701,400. Now, the labor force participation rate increased to 46.2% from 45.6% in the previous year. The gross domestic product in the euro area expanded 1.5% year on year in the second quarter of 2025, higher than 1.4% in the initial estimates, and following an upwardly revised 1.6% in the first quarter. Now, the largest contributions came from household expenditure and changes in inventories at 0.7 percentage points each, followed by gross fixed capital formation at 0.6 percentage points, public expenditure at 0.4 percentage points, and exports at 0.1 percentage points. Now, on the other hand, imports trimmed 1.1 percentage points from the growth among the bloc's largest economies. The GDP expanded 0.2% in Germany, 0.8% in France, and 0.4% in Italy, and 2.8% in Spain. And with that, let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. But when we return, we'll be telling you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned right here on the Radar News Analysis. We still have 30 minutes to keep you company and educate you on matters that are happening beyond the borders of Namibia. See you soon.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organization.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. 10 kilograms each of Sugar King White Sugar, Top Score Super Maize Meal, and Buck Prophet Cook Flour. Also 5 kilos Rice King, as well as 500 grams Pasta King Pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save. Yes, we all save at USAID.
If at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level, call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the eye.
Welcome back, and now we go beyond the news. Now we go to news beyond the borders of Namibia. We're starting off in South Africa on rural food production. The Eastern Cape is set to boost the province economy.
Region. Local farmers from different parts of the Oor Tambo region showcasing their quality and fresh produce. The show is traditionally focusing on product quality, market access, and fostering commercial opportunities for smallholder farmers.
We want to encourage them and assist them with different institutions to get market for them, because we know that especially vegetable, once it is taken away, it rots and it becomes a waste. So we want to encourage and open opportunities for them to access finance and extend their produce where they are.
Small-scale farmers want government to open trade market doors for the emerging commercial farmers.
Siyalima, siyathunga.
We are producing vegetables, seedlings, rabbits, maize, sweet potatoes, and also have rabbits. There are many challenges ranging from water scarcity, market. Big retail stores do not want to take our produce, but they prefer produce from other provinces. I do a lot of things, farming, and I also sewing clothing like school uniform. I also display my products in ports and joints. I display at Mthatha Airport. I produce quality and quantity. We are still lagging behind when it comes to venturing into commercial space, and we need help. Government says the fight against poverty and unemployment in the countryside can be addressed if communities prioritize agriculture.
We want them at the end of the day to become commercial farmers and join the value chain. That's why we are here. Our entity is RDA is here to assist them in terms of the blended finance if they so wish to do so. So we are happy that those that are at school will come out of schools having skills of entrepreneurship and become business people.
Farmers have been urged to venture into continental and international markets. Water scarcity was raised as a major concern to emerging rural farmers. kule kunyembezi yeSABC News Mthatha.
Transnet reports a softer loss in profit.
Transnet has reported a softer loss in profit compared to the previous reporting year. The company reported a loss of 1.9 billion for the year ended 31st March 2025, lower than the 7.3 billion loss for the financial year ended March 2024. The reduction in the loss came mainly from higher revenue of 7.8% to 82.7 billion and lower operational expenditure. The group CEO, Advocate Michelle Phillips, attributed this improvement to the recovery plan that has allowed the company to arrest the rail volumes. In this reporting period, rail volumes were 5.5% higher at 160.1 million tons from 151.7 million tons. She warns that even though there are promising signs of recovery, the company is not yet out of the woods.
When our railways, ports and pipelines function well, South Africa grows. Trade flows. And our economy strengthens. When they falter, the ripple effects are felt across every sector, from mining and manufacturing to agriculture and retail. That is why our recovery matters, not only to us as a company, but to every South African. We are under no illusion about the scale of the task. The years behind us have tested this organization and strained confidence. But the evidence is clear. The tide is beginning to turn. Revenue is rising. Losses are narrowing and volumes are stabilizing. The foundations of recovery are taking hold. The strategy, people in the room today, the strategy is working. Our role as Transnet is bigger than logistics. We are modernizing critical infrastructure, opening the door to private investment, and laying the groundwork for South Africa to compete globally.
MEE's bill uploaded as a key to unlocking Zambia's entrepreneurial potential.
The recently approved Small and Medium Enterprises SMEs bill has sparked reactions from the business community. Lusaka entrepreneur Brian Chanda has welcomed the development.
Okay, so I think the bill that's about to come up for the SME is a good step by the government. I feel it will make it easier for us SMEs, mostly if you can simplify the registration process and also protect the small businesses.
Stakeholders have described the bill as a step in the right direction.
We've had businesses that have fallen off. They've started but failed in their early stages. And this is because they are facing barriers, you know, in the market, mainly resulting to how they are organized. So the startup bill will progressively address some of those barriers that disempower small, medium businesses to get to the next level of growth.
Most of money comes from the mining sector, okay? And in the mining sector, that is where SMEs thrive if they give them a bigger stake. So if they make it, 100% of all the contracts in those mines must go through Zambians.
Meanwhile, Business Development Services Providers Association of Zambia President Obed Mbuzi is optimistic that the bill will strengthen and expand the SME landscape.
We have changed those in this country, for instance. We should be able to address, there are certain things which needs to be procured locally. There is no need to import from somewhere else because then we are creating employment to other and creating wealth in those other countries. So all those concerns which SMEs have, bring them on board. And I'm sure the government is always listening. It's a listening government to ensure that they take into consideration those challenges and those issues which the SMEs have brought, especially on the tax incentives.
Government has, however, urged stakeholders to participate in the process as the bill moves towards implementation. Lucky Piri, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Child marriages persist in Kamuli despite new protection order.
Mirab Isiga Chisaiche left her parents' home when she was 16. She was still in primary 6, but she had been impregnated by her boyfriend, who was also in the same school.
The situation at home was not good. Our father had no money to educate us. I just walked out of home. I did not tell my parents.
The couple made their home in Kadungu Air Trading Center, Namasagali sub-county in Kamuli district. The marriage did not treat her well though, and she regrets it.
Whenever I would harvest our food, he would sell all of it. When I would blame him, he would beat me. Sometimes I would return to my father's home for months, but then I would go back to my husband's home because of the children.
She eventually walked out of the marriage in 2023 when she was 30 years old. She waited for her husband to come and pick her up from her father's home where she had taken refuge. However, he never came.
I tried to bear with the marriage and gave birth to 13 children. Eventually, he beat me and tortured me until he broke my arm. I returned to my father's home.
3 of Chisaiche's daughters are now married, with the last one going into marriage when she was 15 years old last month. We shall call this girl Maria. When her mother left home, Maria took over her duties by caring for her siblings. Shortly after, her father also walked out of the home.
Auntie Mama,
when both my parents abandoned the home, as the older child, I had to take care of my siblings and feed them. I did not have a job. I also decided to abandon my siblings.
Maria got pregnant at 14. The boy who impregnated her used to give her some money to buy food for her siblings.
If our father cared for us and educated us, I would have remained in school. I wanted to be a nurse. If I asked him for money, he would send me to our mother, but she did not have money.
Chisaiche fears that her daughter will face the same fate of domestic violence that she suffered with her husband.
Because she's still underage and cannot do house chores properly for an extended family.
My husband treats me well and looks after our child. I have no problem with him.
Maria's husband, Emmanuel Ayiru, is a fisherman, but he is not yet 18. However, he says he's not scared to live with the mother of his child.
When she came to live with me, my father went and spoke with her father. They reached an agreement and will give her father some money this month.
Uganda's legal framework criminalizes child marriage. However, the practice persists. Michael Kasada, the Busoga North Regional Police spokesperson, explains that parents still perceive early marriage as a source of income.
When a child
still in Uganda, the government launches a portal to track commodity value chains across sub-Sahara.
A new digital tool has been launched to consolidate data and information about commodity value chains at sub-region level. The portal is expected to boost private sector competitiveness and guide evidence-based planning. It has also been touted as a digital nervous system of the tenfold growth strategy.
The ABCD approach once again aims to enhance productivity and profitability around the targeted commodities, strengthen farmer incomes and reduce rural poverty, promote agro-industrialization and regional economic growth through value addition, improve competitiveness in domestic and export markets, and ensure sustainability through area-specific ecological practices.
And for researchers and universities, the portal provides access to updated, validated data set for rigorous policy research, evaluation, and forecasting of sub-regional resolutions. Two, co-produces advanced analytics on forecasting, training of next generation of analysts, and turns research into deployable public good features.
The Minister of Local Government says the portal comes with practical value, offering area-specific use cases that local governments can immediately adapt to improve service delivery and decision-making.
I'm hoping that with this portal, we shall be able to use seasonal altitude belts data, farm gate prices data, primary processing capacity should be built better, and we should be able to identify standard gaps in the coffee and horticulture industry so that we're able to justify the micro washing stations needs, parking houses needs, last mile logistics, and we improve the value chain in the hillside communities.
Rwanda Habwe, ATV Business.
Turning rice water into organic fertilizer in East Africa. Let's take a listen.
From above, the landscape stretches into vast rice fields swaying under the sun. It is from these fertile plains that farmers harvest millions of bags of rice, nourishing countless families across Kenya. But hidden in this abundance lies a stubborn challenge, rice husks. A byproduct of milling, one of the world's most consumed cereals, rice husks are tough to break down. Their high silica content makes them resistant to decay, leaving farmers in the Mount Kenya region, particularly at the Mwea irrigation scheme, struggling with how to dispose of them. For years, these husks piled up, choking the environment. Today, however, a new story is being written. Non-profit organizations, including Kilimo Trust, have stepped in with an innovative solution, turning waste into wealth through the principles of the circular economy.
And the kind of wiping out of all these husks from the mills around has been phenomenal, because for instance the machine that you saw there that is doing the carbonization of these husks, he is able to actually do a number of tons, over 5 tons of rice husks per day.
This process turns the husks into a stable form of carbon, locking away carbon-related gases from the atmosphere.
So if you are able to store away carbon, this is the best way to store carbon in the soil for centuries without that carbon ever getting released out to the environment.
Now, instead of being discarded, rice husks are sold by millers to local youth groups. These groups collect and transport the husks to central processing points where they are transformed into biocharcoal. Through value addition, the biocharcoal becomes an organic fertilizer, returning to the very rice fields where the cycle began.
Because of this product, the soils are able to harbor what we call effective microorganisms or good microorganisms that are very good for the soils. So the soil life comes back because the microorganisms are able now to inhabit the soils, because even the soil structure is very good for them.
For farmers like Jennifer Wawira, this has meant healthier soils, stronger harvests, and better yields.
I have been a farmer for over a decade and struggled with soil acidity for many years. Despite using various fertilizers, I saw little improvement. One day, I met a young person involved in biochar fertilizer production, which led me to attend a training session. There, I discovered the many benefits of this organic fertilizer, and it has since transformed my approach to farming.
For young people, it has.
Africa's young tech and green innovators reshape the continent's business future.
Welcome to another edition of Business Africa. I'm your host, Afolake Oyinloye, the top stories this week. Africa's youth take the lead in transforming agriculture. The Dakar Forum shines a spotlight on innovation, jobs, and climate-smart solutions. Africa's tech scene reaches new levels of maturity as startups expand abroad, exporting homegrown solutions from Uganda, Nigeria, and Tunisia to the world. Moroccan innovators are turning shrimp waste into organic fertilizer, boosting soil health, crop yields and sustainability across the country. Africa's food future is in the hands of its youth. That was the resounding message as the Africa Food System Forum 2025 wrapped up in Dakar, showcasing how young innovators are transforming farming into a modern job-creating sector.
The Africa Food Systems Forum 2025 has just wrapped up in the Senegalese capital, Dakar, with a clear message. Africa's food future lies with its young people. Under the theme, Africa's Youth Leading Collaboration, Innovation and Implementation of Agri-Food Systems Transformation, the summit highlighted how young Africans are modernizing agriculture into a vibrant job-creating sector. Smallholder farmers, who produce up to 80% of Africa's food, remain the most vulnerable. Experts argued that farming must move beyond subsistence to become businesses powered by youth-led innovation, digital tools, better infrastructure, and access to finance. A transformation that is already visible across the continent. In Côte d'Ivoire, a youth training program has opened doors to agribusinesses. Once forced to abandon school, Leon now supervises a cashew processing factory in Odien. In Malawi, the Pro Agri Youth Project is equipping young farmers with entrepreneurial skills. Farmer turned entrepreneur Mamadou Koulibaly has expanded from vegetables into poultry, creating jobs for seven others. Twin sisters Kumbukani and Chisoma Chimombo, once subsistence farmers, now run a thriving greenhouse tomato business. Experts agree Africa's booming youth population can turn agriculture into a driver of prosperity if they receive the right support. And with climate change threatening harvests, investing in climate-smart practices is more urgent than ever.
Joining us is Alvaro Lario, President of the International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD. Thank you for joining us on the show. Small, older and young farmers often struggle with access to finance, technology and market. What is IFAD doing to help them move from subsistence to sustainable agribusiness?
I think, as you said, it relates very much to having the right water infrastructure, to have the right also mechanization. But above all, as you mentioned, it's about access to finance. Any business needs, obviously, an initial investment. In our case, we're partnering with many of the local financial institutions, with the public development banks in each country, agricultural development banks, land banks, in order to make sure that many of these young people have adequate financing. One example, for example, is a fund we have set up, a program in five countries whereby we are providing many local youth entrepreneurs with access to climate finance, to climate adaptation. So that means loans at 0% interest rate in order to really do the investments to adapt to many of the climate shocks.
How is IFAD helping young farmers adapt to climate shocks? what tangible impact do we have on ground?
As you mentioned, climate and agriculture are very clearly linked. Many of the climate shocks, we're talking about droughts, we're talking about floods, heat waves, are fundamentally need to be addressed in order for these businesses to really thrive. For us, this relates in many instances to, for example, how technologies such as drought-resistant seeds is being used, or access to water, drip irrigation is another way of really trying to take care of water shortages. And also, for example, in Malawi, we're building also roads that are very much resistant to floods. So it's important that we already anticipate many of these investments. Otherwise, when many of the shocks happen, a lot of these businesses are totally wiped out. So it's important to start investing in advance. In the case of coastal areas, as another example, mangroves, whenever you're planting mangroves, this also helps with the sea level rises, so that many of the shocks or potential increases of this sea level are also taken care of in advance.
Can a youth-led agriculture realistically meet the continent food needs? What incentives are there to appeal to the young ones?
Well, it's not only about small-scale farmers. For us at IFAD, we are very much investing only in small-scale farmers in very remote areas, bringing them together through cooperatives. But at the same time, we are also investing, for example, in Nigeria, in agro-processing zones, in agro-industrial parks in other parts of Africa. I think the combination of making sure that we have viable business, mid-size, but also that are linked to global value chains is fundamental. So it's a matter of having also a balance between, I would say, more industrial farming, but also small-scale farmers. It's very clear that for many of the young entrepreneurs to be able to have thriving businesses, they need also to have the training in terms of how to run a business, and also create business incubators, have also specific programs for youth in order to modernize funds, their farms. So it's important to be very targeted to young and also to women populations, and very much especially in the rural areas, because actually 80% of poverty is in these rural areas.
Thailand names its third prime minister in 2 years.
Breaking news to bring you from Thailand. MPs there have just elected Anutin Charnvirakul to be the country's new prime minister. The construction tycoon is the country's third leader in just over a year. He leads a conservative political party and received the backing of the largest opposition party. He's promising to call a new election within 4 months of coming to power. It's a week since Thailand's last prime minister was dismissed by the country's constitutional court. Let's speak to our Southeast Asia correspondent, Jonathan Head, now. Hi, Jonathan. So just talk us through what's happening there right now.
Well, the vote is continuing, but Anutin has enough votes. We know now he is going to be the next prime minister. This has been a very fraught process in the last week, ever since the previous prime minister, Petongtan Shinawat, daughter of course, Thailand's best-known political force, Thaksin Shinawat, was dismissed by the courts. And there's been frantic bargaining as the remaining parties have tried to cobble together a functioning coalition. Now, the forces that have come together to support this new premiership are a pretty uncomfortable partnership. You've got Anutin's party, third largest, but not that big, 69 out of the total of 492 seats in parliament, partnering up with a progressive party that are traditionally, they're on opposite ends of the political spectrum. They're not comfortable bedfellows. And the reformists, the largest party, which is banned from forming a government, it had its leadership dissolved by the courts earlier, has imposed these very strict conditions that Mr. Anutin can only become prime minister if he commits to that election within 4 months, and if he starts a process of constitutional reform. They've got all these conditions. He's starting as a really handcuffed prime minister, but he's a very wily operator. He's a very seasoned political operative, very transactional. Everyone's waiting to see whether he actually sticks to that commitment or whether he tries to entrench his power a bit more.
And so how should the rest of the world be reading this? Is this a moment of potential stability after that turmoil that you outlined, or not?
I don't think so. I mean, the root causes of Thailand's instability have never gone away. Progressive parties do well in elections. then try to form governments. Then they get hit by the courts, which are notoriously conservative, or by the military in the form of coups or other forms in which they're pulled down. This dynamic hasn't changed. Thailand is an interesting country in that it's middle income. It's grown very fast in the past, but it's now rather static, its growth. You've got a lot of a younger generation who are very frustrated about the lack of opportunities, about where the country's going, but you've got enormously powerful vested interests who don't want change. That has not changed. In a way, the new prime minister represents the old forces. He is a conservative figure. But of course, he's going to rely on these progressives in parliament just to stay in power. And even if they have the election in 4 months' time, and I do wonder if he'll stick to that, we're likely to see the same dynamic again. Voters will go out very excited by reformist parties, elect them, and then they'll find that the conservative, often unelected forces like the courts block them from actually exercising power.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Angela Rayner resigns from UK government over tax rule.
Confirmation now, Angela Rayner has resigned as Deputy Prime Minister and Housing Secretary. She's also resigned as Deputy Leader of the Labour Party. This is a huge move for the Labour Party and raises a number of questions. We don't have the findings yet of the internal report, the ethics finding. We can possibly go back to Chris Mason actually for a bit more because information is still coming into us. Chris, what more can you tell us?
So my email has just pinged, so I'm going to read you something that I am reading for the first time myself. We now have a letter from the independent advisor on ministerial standards, Sir Laurie Magnus, and indeed an exchange of letters between Angela Rayner and the Prime Minister. Let me read you through, and I'll try and establish how long it is so that I'm not here until tea time, the report from Sir Laurie Magnus. So he says in this letter to the Prime Minister, this is the guy who was tasked with looking into Angela Rayner's property affairs and her tax affairs. He said, I should acknowledge that Angela Rayner has provided her full and open cooperation in assisting me. Her decision to provide greater public transparency by removing the confidentiality and undertaking relating to a court order. This was about her property in Greater Manchester, family home that she no longer legally owned, but was owned by a trust in the name of her disabled son. He thanks her for that. Let me just scroll down, and you may be spotting things yourself as you're reading it that we can bring to our viewers. He says, Ms. Rayner has explained publicly, following the recent allegations, that she sought legal advice from leading tax counsel. Let me just see if I can scroll down towards the tail end and see if we can pull out the most interesting elements of this. Here we go, the conclusions. I have come to four conclusions. Ms. Rayner was open about the existence of the trust and considered that between them, the firms advising her had appropriate knowledge and awareness of the details and circumstances of the trust. On the basis of the advice she received, Ms. Rayner believed that the lower rate of stamp duty would be applicable. She was twice informed in writing that this was the case. But in those two instances, that advice was qualified by the acknowledgement that it did not constitute expert tax advice and was accompanied by a suggestion, or in one case, a recommendation, that specific tax advice should be obtained. This is the absolute crux of whether or not she was sufficiently diligent in making sure she was paying the right level of stamp duty.
And we have that. We have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dingi program brought to you by Louis Eshimi. And of course, the home run show with Dwight and Helmut at 16:30, the business economic segment at 1800 hours with David Shombe. And if you want to continue to listen to the sound of my voice, do tune in tomorrow for life lessons right here on Eagle FM frequency, Eagle FM app and Eagle FM website. That is from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Anatin.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle FM.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you of if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional right.